Thank you that you are everything that we need. Just talking about times when we are hungry, we're hurting, we're struggling, and oh God, you're so faithful to be the living water. You're so faithful to be the bread of life that supplies all of our needs. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for the stories of imperfect people, broken people in your word. Your word's not full of people that did it right, got it all right, had no tragedies happen to them, Lord God. It's filled with people who have lived life, and your grace meets them right where they are. So thank you, Lord, for doing that, both in your word and right here. Right here. Because there's nothing, that's nothing that's bigger than your grace. There's nothing that's worse than what your grace can cover. There's nothing that is more hurtful that your grace can't heal. There's nothing so lost and seemingly unfixable that if we just follow you, that your grace can't restore. So thank you, Lord, for being so faithful to us and your grace meeting us in the ways that we could never meet, never help, never fix ourselves. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Well, we're going to be spending some time in the Gospel of John and in Luke 22, but primarily in John chapter 21, I believe. Yeah. Chapter 21. Remember Thomas last week, right? Thomas had a week, didn't he? He had a rough week where everybody else had seen Jesus, everybody else was believing, except Thomas, and he struggled. He had a difficult, difficult week. And, you know, we found that grace met him right there, didn't he? Right in his doubt. Peter had a time like that too. I don't know if we have to think about this. Oftentimes we read this, the NIV titled this section in chapter 21, Jesus Reinstates Peter. And that's all of our focus, but we don't think that. We don't really know how much time elapsed between the resurrection of Christ and Jesus meeting them in Galilee on the shore. We really don't know. It could have been a week. It could have been a month, quite honestly. But there's Peter living with what? Living with a rough week with his choices that he is just... Ever have one of those choices that you just can't forgive yourself for? You just keep going back to those times where there just seems to replay in our minds. You go to bed at night and you just want to go to sleep. But all of a sudden the tape starts rolling again. It's like, oh, why did I do that? Can't believe I did that. And the tape just rolls. We're embarrassed by something that we did and just looked awful in front of people. You just can't keep replaying that. Maybe it's something you're just brokenhearted about that you did something about or something to somebody else. And you just can't forgive. We just can't let go of the consequences. Peter had been a leader in the disciples, right? He was one of the few. There was the 12, but there was also the three or so that Jesus spent more time with even than the rest of the 12 disciples, and Peter was one of those. Imperfect, absolutely, but yet Jesus looked to him. How did, in fact, Jesus, when he said, "Who do people say that I am?" Who was it that says, "You're the Messiah"? That was Peter, right? And God, Jesus said, "You know what? Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Spirit of God revealed that to you." And as a result, he said, "Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom." That was pretty significant. And he said, "Peter," that's the word Petros, which is really refers to like a stone or a rock that you would pick up and throw or walk all around or walk over. I said, "Peter, I'm changing your name. And upon this rock," and that's what he had just declared, that Jesus was the Messiah. He said, "Upon that, I'm building my church." And he talked to them about being leaders. He says, "Don't be as the Gentiles do and lord it over them and raise yourself up." He says, That's not how you're supposed to be. He had to tell them that because they were arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom, right? That was part of Peter's imperfections. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Jesus says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. He's going to sift you. And, but I prayed for you. So basically, Satan asked to sift Peter, and Jesus is saying, permission was given, but I'm praying for you, Simon. I'm praying for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, Peter, strengthen your brothers. They're going to need you. Strengthen them. And then Peter, in all of his Peterness, says, "Lord, I'll go with you to prison or to death. Nothing is going to keep me from following you." Go, Peter. Right? But Jesus answered, and I just have to wonder what was the tone of voice that Jesus used? What was the look on his face? "Peter, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, man. Where did that come from? Well, let's stand together as we continue digging into Peter and Peter's rooster. Let's read together. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Lord, would you teach us something about Peter, yeah. But Lord, teach us something about you in the midst of me. Your grace, would you meet me in the midst of my denial, my mistake, my hurtful thing, my regret. Meet me there, Lord. Show me who you are. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. And be seated. Well, let's read a little bit. This is, we don't know exactly how long, but it was after the resurrection, and Jesus had told the disciples, I want to meet you in Galilee, and that's where they had gone. And it shows Jesus' appearance. I'm in chapter 21 of John. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. That was the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus. John likes to call him that. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John the writer, said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread all laid out. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, gave it to them, did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Interesting story. So many things you could dig out of this. But here we find Peter. Remember Peter? Remember the, I'll go to prison. I'll die for you, Peter. Remember him? Remember the, Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom, Peter. Remember the Peter that when they came to arrest Jesus, who fought back and cut off one of the guard's ears? Peter! Right? Here's Peter. Back to Galilee. Back to fishing. And guess what the rest of the disciples did? They followed him. Because that's who Peter was. He was a leader. He was one of the ones that Jesus said, I want you to be a leader amongst them. And they followed. But you know what caught my attention about this? There's probably several of you are going to be like, what about, oh, I know he's going to go about this analogy and this and the net and how the fish and all. That's what caught my attention. You know what we heard in Haiti at 4 a.m? Every morning. And it wasn't just one. They were everywhere. I mean, you just lay there and you're just like, ugh. And there they are. I mean, they are all around you. They're just on all around the hillside. There are roosters crowing. You know what? Roosters are the same in Haiti as they are here. And they're the same in Israel as they are in Haiti. Roosters crow at dawn, don't they? You know what struck me in this? It was the verse that said, they caught nothing all night. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. What do you think they might have heard? Might have heard a rooster crowing. Roosters are a reminder that it's morning. But you know what they might have been a reminder for Peter? When the rooster crows, you will have denied me, Peter, 3 times. Things can take on different meanings, can't they? Everybody else is like, oh, shut up, rooster. And there's Peter going, oh, why did I do that? Why did I deny him? Why did I say, it was servant girls, and I said I never knew him. Roosters can take on different meanings. I got the sense that Peter was really still struggling with his failure. And there's a number of different things. Here they were on the boat, caught nothing all night. Some guy on the shore says, hey, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you'll catch some fish. What would you do if you're out there fishing all night, hadn't caught anything, and somebody says, hey, throw your line out on the other side of the boat, you'll catch something. You'd be like, shut up. You know, go away, I'm frustrated, I haven't caught a thing. Well, they threw their nets out on the other side of the boat, and boy, did they catch something. They caught something. And even still, Peter, I'm just picturing Peter's just still being just consumed with his failure. John's like, Peter, it's Jesus, huh? All of a sudden he wakes up. It's Jesus. Grabs his cloak, dives in the water, right? That's Peter, right? He's not going to wait for everybody else. He's swimming ashore. That's Peter. Peter was a reactor, wasn't he? You see a little bit later. Don't we kind of overreact to try to fix some things when we've messed up? Jesus says, bring me some of the fish. Remember that? What did Peter do? He jumped in the boat and dragged the whole net of 153 fish ashore. I'll get it. I'll bring the fish. I mean, sometimes we do that when we're disappointed in ourselves. We just overreact, right? I got to think that Peter may have had a week or a couple of weeks of just beating himself up and just frustrated with what he had done. And now here they are sitting around the fire, eating. No one's daring to ask, it says, who he was. They're like, everybody's just like, I don't know what to do. Did you ever have those awkward silences where you're just, nobody's saying anything? Anxious, awkward. And there's that rooster's. Now, do I know for sure the roosters were crowing at that point in time? No. But it wouldn't surprise me. Because they will crow for a long time in the morning. At least in Haiti they did. Then, sitting around that fire, grace met Jesus right where he was. That rooster, that reminder of his failure, and here's Jesus. I mean, do you ever have one of those things where it's just like it's right in front of you and you're just like, you're sitting around there. Here's the Savior that said you're going to deny him and the rooster was going to crow. And the stupid rooster crows. And you're just sitting there going, I'm such an idiot. Why did I do that? He must hate me. He must think I'm no good. I could never help him. I could never serve him. I could never be of any use to him ever again. He has no faith or trust in me. Right? Those are the things that could be going around through his mind. Well, and then we go on. It says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Talking about the fish, bread. And he said, yes, Lord. He said, you know that I love you. Heartbreaking. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Maybe there was a pause. I don't know. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus meets us right in the middle of our pain, right in the middle of our regret. He meets us there. He doesn't wait for us to fix it and clean it all up. He meets us there. It's interesting that he used the name, not Peter, not Rock that he had associated with his leadership, but Simon, son of John. This is the old Simon, Simon that he knew. Simon is from the Hebrew word Shimon, or some of you might recognize the word Shema. That was something that they, one verse in the Old Testament, this was the Shema, this was the thing that they declared, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, right? That was the Shema. And the word Shema literally means to listen, to hear, or even to, with a connotation, to hear and obey, right? So Jesus uses that derivative, that Greek version of the Hebrew word listen. Simon, listen. Look at me. Listen to me, Simon. Sometimes I don't want to listen. You know? Sometimes that rooster crows and makes me think of things that I just would rather not think about. But you know what Jesus did? He repurposed the rooster. He reused the rooster in a whole different way than Peter was carrying around that memory of the rooster at that point in time. No longer was the rooster going to be associated with my failure. Now the rooster that Peter would hear every morning was going to remind him and be forever connected with the grace and the forgiveness and the restoration of Jesus. Jesus loves to take bad things and make something good out of it. Isn't that good news? Do you agree with that? Have you seen that in your life where he's taken something that was bad and he's turned it to good? That's awesome that he does that. Peter had a brand new version in his mind now of what the rooster meant. He found forgiveness. Jesus forgives us in the midst of our struggle, our regret, our pain. Grace says, it's done. It's paid for. It's redeemed. Everything that needed to be done for, to pay for your failure, has been done on the cross. You're saying, I can't get past it. Jesus said, I already put you past it. When you trusted in me, you became redeemed. You are past it. You just don't know it. You're living like you're back here underneath the guilt and the shame. And Scripture tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not ours to carry anymore. It's not yours to carry anymore. We carry it because we choose to. We can let it go and say, I'm actually redeemed and forgiven already by what Jesus did for me. What is grace? God and his love doing for us what we could never do ourselves, and that is redeem what we thought was unredeemable. And he did it. Praise God. And you know what? When Jesus forgives, he knows, he understands our humanness. You know what he did for Peter? He allowed him the opportunity to say it. He allowed him the opportunity to verbalize it. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. How many times did he have him say it? Three times. How many times did he deny Jesus? Three times. You know what? But do you think he had said it already three times at least? God, I'm so sorry. God, I can't believe I did that. Help. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Have you ever done that? Forgive me, forgive me. We say it over and over and over. But that rooster's still crowing with the wrong message, right? Jesus allowed him to say, look at me. I forgive you. Tell me you love me. Now, just so often that's a conversation that we have with ourselves. God, I can't believe I did that. Jesus is saying, you have the conversation with me. And when you have the conversation with me, it's no longer you requiring, I've got to do this, I've got to beat myself up, I've got to punish myself because I didn't do good enough. That's oftentimes what our self-conversation is. Jesus saying, you have that conversation with me, and I will tell you that I forgive you, and I will also tell you that I've restored you. That denial would become a reminder of God's grace. So that every time Peter failed, and Peter failed, he would remember, you know what though? I screwed up here, but if he can forgive me for denying him to a servant girl, he can forgive me here. Amen? Yeah, yeah. What would Jesus say about your failure? Yeah. What would he say about your regret that you just keep rehearsing and nursing and rehearsing over and over? Yeah, he'd say, yeah, it's done. It's forgiven. You don't have to carry that regret anymore, right? He not only forgives us, but he restores us. He does. He forgives and he restores. Peter was restored to a place of ministry again, wasn't he? He said, you know what? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Do what I had called you to do. I'm restoring you. Now, Jesus always looked at leadership as what? Servanthood, right? You want to be great, be a servant. You want to lead, be last in line, serve. That's what serving meant, or leading meant for Jesus. And he didn't just forgive and he restored and said, there's still something for you to continue doing. We don't just receive the forgiveness and sit back. That's done. Jesus says, now go. Go and feed my sheep. Go and be the leader that I appointed you to be. Do what I called you to do. Don't give me this, I can't do that, I'm not worth anything anymore. Go rebuild your trust with the other disciples. How do you rebuild trust? They're not going to trust me. Be faithful. Show yourself faithful. Do the things that you're supposed to do. Rebuild trust by being trustworthy. That's how you do it, right? If you've broken trust with anybody, there's only one way to rebuild trust, and that's by being trustworthy over a period of time. Right? So go do that, Jesus says. Go feed my sheep. Go feed my lambs. Others would say, and we would say, I'm done. I'm of no use. I'm no good. Grace says, oh, I'm not finished with you yet. There's more here for you to learn, and this is just part of it. So let's keep walking. Let's keep walking. What happens when Peter feels grace, or failure, and fear, and guilt, and gets reminded? He remembers that rooster and says, ah, that's right. I remember the last time I heard that rooster. He forgave me. He restored me. He gave me back this ministry and said, I will be with you. Feed my sheep. Everybody heard it. Now Peter just had to walk in it. Hindsight's 20/20, right? What does it look like for Peter later on? This verse, let's put this verse up. This is what Peter wrote to, who did he write this to? It was a letter to the church, the exiles he described scattered among the nations. That's who he wrote this to. The book of Peter is for people going through trials. And Peter said, "And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered for a little while," I understand that, been there, done that, "he himself will restore you." So this is years later. I'm trying to think of when Peter was written. It was at least 30 to 40 years after Christ. He says, "He himself will restore you." I've experienced this. He restores, no matter how bad you think you've screwed up, he restores you and will make you strong and firm and steadfast. He will do that. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's Jesus' testimony. Peter knew pain. Peter knew suffering. And he could call the God of all grace that still called him to serve to glory. He himself will restore you. So, it's time for that rooster call. That one in your life. We all have a different sounding rooster call. It looks different, it feels different, where there's something that we're like, okay. It's time to change that from a reminder of how I failed to a reminder of how God supplied and how he brought forgiveness and how he restored you and how he said, "I'm going to take this bad and turn it to something good," because that's his heart for you. Amen? It's him. It's all his grace doing it. Repentance has been heard. You don't have to repeat it again and again. Forgiveness has been given. Thank him. Thank him for it. Restoration has been provided. He still has ministry for you. So let the rooster crow. Let it remind you of what Jesus has repurposed it for, and that is for his glory and for his working in and through you. Amen? I'm just going to close us in a song.